to the Fantasy's Finest Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, William Spencer, Jalen McQueen, and Mark Carter.
What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy's Finest Podcast. Back for another one, man. It's time to get even closer. We are getting so close to the start of the regular season for the NFL. Drafts are starting to pop off. I'm getting messages. Everybody's getting ready to start their leagues up. The league drafts are getting underway. I got two coming up alone, and then I got another two the following week, or another three the following week. This is how crazy draft season gets, man. And you know, there's more leagues getting ready to pop off. Everybody's so excited. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to be at this point. This is one of my favorite points of the year, because we get football back, we get fantasy football back, everybody's dropping their takes, league chats are popping off, everybody's talking trash. This is great. But I'm not gonna believe you guys. We got a good episode for you coming up. We will be discussing the NFC North. We'll be doing our divisional breakdown, and we have a very special guest, Miss Amber Phillips, a.k.a. Lady Shot Caller, will be joining us later on for that segment. We'll be giving our breakdowns for the NFC North Division. And we're going to give you our record predictions, or our divisional winner predictions, I should say, as to who we think will come out on top for this division. So we'll be getting into that later on in the episode. You know, we got to cover the news before we jump into the big part. But we got to give you the station notification, so to speak. You can follow the podcast at Fantasy's Finest across all social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We have Facebook groups. We have a Facebook page. You can check that out. YouTube, Auditor, Fantasy's Finest. You can check us out there. Hit the subscribe button, follow button, whatever you got to hit to stay in the loop. You can also follow the podcast on your favorite podcast platforms like Odyssey, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can leave us some reviews. Let us know if you enjoyed the show. If you didn't like it, let us know too. Maybe we can work on something, because criticism, I'm for it. I've said it before. I'm not above it, so I need it so I can grow and grow the podcast. So, did I miss anything else? No, I don't think so. So, without further ado, see, I'm doing a good job. I'm trying to keep it short. Let's get into the news, and then we can get right into the big part, the big segment. NFC North divisional breakdown. But before we get that, let's talk about the news. The latest news coming out of the NFL and our news and notes from around the NFL.
News and notes from around the NFL.
All right, we got some things to catch you guys up on. So let's start with this one. Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook have found new homes. Elliott signed with the New England Patriots, and Dalvin Cook has now landed with the New York Jets. Zeke signed a one-year deal worth $6 million, or worth up to $6 million, and he will be sharing the backfield with Ramondre Stevenson. Cook signed a one-year deal worth up to $8.6 million to land with the Jets. These two situations, I kind of feel like, are being viewed. At least I don't say that they're being viewed by others. I'll speak for me. I think that these two situations are being viewed differently. Ramondre Stevenson, matter of fact, let's just start with the fact that we all know the New England Patriots like to juggle their running backs. So Ramondre Stevenson is going to get work. Ezekiel Elliott now has some fantasy value, not like he did when he was with Dallas, but he's still in the backfield where he's going to be sharing a workload. He's definitely going to see goal line work, or share going on work with Ramondre Stevenson. And per recent reports, he has been being used in passing situations during training camp. So that's another positive for Ezekiel Elliott. Now, I know his numbers over the last few years haven't been great as far as his production as a passer, but the fact that they're still willing to use him as a pass catcher bodes well for Ezekiel Elliott. We know Ramondre Stevenson is going to be the guy who's going to get, you know, or he should get more work from Ezekiel Elliott. But we can't completely write off the fact that Ezekiel Elliott, now with the New England Patriots, has a role that could be significant for fantasy managers, and he's cheaper to get. So if you're kind of concerned about Ramondre Stevenson, his workload being affected by Ezekiel Elliott, you have every right to be, because it's definitely possible, especially how we know how Bill Belichick likes to shuffle around his running backs. I mean, we wouldn't be still calling it Belichick to this day if we didn't know, you know, this is how they get in. As far as Dalvin Cook with Breece Hall and the Jets, I'm not overly concerned about Dalvin Cook affecting Breece Hall like Ramondre would be affected by Ezekiel Elliott. Breece Hall is a phenomenal running back, and he's going to be working himself back from the ACL. That's the big concern. He's returning from that, but he's already off the PUP list. He's already practicing in 11-on-11 drills. He's looking good. He's cutting. He's getting back to the way he was. Now, I understand there may be some trepidations about Breece Hall's workload to start the season, and rightfully so. I could see a scenario where Breece Hall's ease back into the RB1 role, but I don't think that his role is going to change once he's back to normal. I do feel like Dalvin Cook gives the Jets something else in the event that Breece Hall misses time or he gets hurt, but I still think that this is the Breece Hall show. I mean, his ADP didn't change much when Dalvin Cook got signed. He's still just outside, what, the top 10 running backs, top 12. He's being taken off the board. So he's still standing strong as far as ADP goes. So what that tells me is that fantasy managers are not as concerned about what Dalvin Cook brings as opposed to what Breece Hall could be if he's healthy and he gets his workload back. I mean, the ADP speaks for itself to me. And, you know, shallow plug, I did write an article for Fantasy Data about Breece Hall's fantasy outlook for this season. So, you know, I'm going to go over fantasydata.com and check that out. It's available. So you can get my full view on the Breece Hall situation for fantasy this year. But, I mean, overall, I'm not really concerned about Breece Hall's work. I think he's going to be really good. Once they take the training wheels off, they may give him a week or two. You know, you get hit by somebody outside of practice and, you know, you get up and you feel good. You feel ready to go. Another thing to consider, too, is that Dalvin Cook isn't practicing just yet for two reasons. He's coming back from off-season shoulder surgery. I wanted to say that right because I felt myself getting tongue-tied. But off-season shoulder surgery, and he's about to have half a kid. So he's waiting for that so that he can go and take care of that. So he's not practicing yet, and we still have about 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks left until the regular season starts. So that's another thing to concern yourself about. Dalvin Cook, I feel like, will have a substantial role, or a significant role, because the Jets, without Breece Hall last season, finished 25th in rushing. That's not good. So you needed a backup plan in the event that something does happen to Breece Hall, and they went out and did it with Dalvin Cook. So we'll see how it turns out once the regular season starts, but I don't know. I don't think you should panic just yet. Let's keep it moving in the news. If you haven't been paying attention to this, this has been a wild ride. The Colts have granted permission to Jonathan Taylor to seek a trade. We talked about this a little bit in our last episode about what was going on with Jonathan Taylor. He's looking for a new contract. He's on the final year of his rookie deal. Jim Irsay is off the nose candy, and he doesn't want to pay Jonathan Taylor, or at least that's what it looks like. Because you don't want to trade one of your best offensive assets, you know, just for nothing. But it doesn't seem like Jonathan Taylor wants to be there anymore. He's not getting a new deal from the Colts. So he's looking elsewhere, and the team has granted him permission to be able to seek a trade. According to ESPN's Stephen Holder, he reports that they've given, this is what cracks me up. They gave him permission to seek a trade, but they only gave him till next Tuesday to find a suitable trade partner. How does that work? Jim Irsay got some stones, but I'll just say that. So according to other reports, six teams have been involved in inquiries to try and find out if a trade is possible for Taylor. There's also the pup list deadline that is in the works too. If he remains, he's currently on the pup list. He's working himself back from his high ankle injury from last year. If he remains on the pup list by the start of the season or by the deadline, he'll have to miss the next four games of the regular season. That's no bueno for fantasy managers who are gambling on the fact that he's either going to play or he's going to get traded to a team so that he can play week one. That's tight. That's going to be tight. I think that's really going to be tight for fantasy managers. So just pay attention to what's going on there. Hopefully one thing shakes and he's either traded or he comes back to the team, they mend fences, and Jonathan Taylor is ready to go. Miami's reportedly trying to make a push for Jonathan Taylor. The Eagles have been rumored to be in on trying to trade for Taylor. There's been reports about them being aggressors for Jonathan Taylor. Now, personally, I don't see it happening. This is kind of like the vibe that it gave off before with Derrick Henry trying, or not trying, but the reports were that Derrick Henry was going to be traded to the Eagles. Akbar Gbaja Biyamilo tweeted that out, was that back in March or April or somewhere around there, and nothing ever came of it. So I don't see the Eagles making a deal to get Jonathan Taylor. It doesn't make sense because you made all these offseason moves. You went out and traded for DeAndre Swift. You brought in Rashad Penny. You've been talking up Kenny Gainwell. You still have Boston Scott and Trey Sermon on the team. You haven't cut anybody, any one of those guys, off the team. And it doesn't make sense for the Eagles to, one, possibly have to give up a first-round pick because that's what the Colts are asking for, or something that equates to a first-round pick. And then you have to pay Jonathan Taylor, too. And he probably wants the market value, Christian McCaffrey, that $16 million mark. So if you're not willing to pay Miles Sanders, who you had last season, why would you then trade for a running back? I mean, even though it's Jonathan Taylor, he's 24 years old, he's young, he still got it. But why would you make that move when you could have just paid Miles Sanders less money to keep him and you didn't have to give up in draft picks? But this kind of confirms it for me because Tim McManus was on the 97.5, the Fanatic show, the afternoon show, and he said kind of the same thing about there being too many moving pieces for the Eagles to get in on this. You know, they're not going to give up players they're not going to be able to give up players worth anything in order to get Jonathan Taylor in. Plus, I can't see Howie Roseman really giving up a first-round pick. Howie has done, you know, mystifying things in terms of making trades and fleecing dudes, but I just can't see it happening this time. Sam Darnold. Yeah, Sam Darnold. This is for Ace because I know he loves him some Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was named the backup quarterback to Brock Purdy. Trey Lance is now the QB3. The 49ers just don't know what they want to do with Trey Lance. They don't want to trade him because they keep trying to recruit these first-round picks. They're not going to get him. And he's just sitting there collecting dust. If he was that bad, you would have tried to move on from him and took whatever you can get. Because you're not getting a first. You're not getting a second-round pick. And his value just continues to plummet after every year. But Sam Darnold is your backup for the 49ers. Brock Purdy is your starter. Let's see what Brock Purdy can do in a full season. Moving along, you have the Jets. Wide receiver Corey Davis retiring from the NFL. He was the fifth overall pick out of the 2017 NFL draft. He was drafted by the Titans, played in the NFL for six seasons, but he has called it a career. And now that allows Allen Lazard to be the wide receiver two undisputed for the Jets heading into the 2023 season. And we have some injury news for you guys, so you may want to pay attention to this part as you get ready for your fantasy drafts. Jerry Jeudy left practice with a hamstring injury. It's reportedly about a grade 2 or a moderate sprain. They're saying this could be anywhere between 3 and 8 weeks in terms of recovery. Judy was unable to leave the practice field under his own power. He had to be carted off and then had trouble getting off the cart under his own power. Not a good sign for Jerry Jeudy. He's a big piece of what the Denver Broncos wanted to do this season. So if he's out for an extended period of time because of the hamstring, it'll be Cortland Sutton and it'll be Marvin Mims. Pay attention. Marvin Mims could be something that fantasy managers might want to check out because they don't have any other wide receivers. Tim Patrick is down. They let go of KJ Hamler. So it's looking a little better. They're going to have to add to that that depth when they start the season. Alan Lazard was reportedly dealing with a shoulder injury. He picked up an AC. It was diagnosed as an AC joint sprain during practice. He isn't expected to play the final preseason game against the Giants, but he is speculated to be ready for week one. The Commanders' Terry McLaurin has turf toe. His week one status against the Cardinals is up in the air. The Vikings' Jordan Addison, rookie wide receiver, returned to practice after dealing with a concussion. Stop me if you heard this before. DJ Chark is hurt. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make fun of it, but it does seem like he's always hurt every year. He's dealing with a hamstring injury, and he's expected to miss some time, according to Panthers beat writer Joe Persons. Terrence Mitchell is also dealing with a back issue. And with these two injuries in the way, it looks like Jonathan Mingo could have a lane to get heavy snap shares to start the season at the very least, because there's only Adam Thielen, who's old now, and you have Jonathan Mingo. So, yeah, could be an opportunity for the rookie to get on the field more. And to wrap up our new segment, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. His week one status is up in the air as well. According to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, it's considered a long shot as he's dealing with a wrist injury that he had to have surgery on. JSN traveled to Philadelphia for the surgery. He picked up the injury during the preseason game against the Cowboys, and it was nasty. It was a nice play. I didn't think he got hurt because he got up and he was like, you know, in the moment. But he ended up getting hurt on that play. I'm definitely going to post that. You know, I got that in the clip. So I'm definitely going to be putting that up there on our social media. So that it was a nasty play. It's just a taste of what JSN could possibly be doing this season. I already wrote about it in an article. I think I had seven fantasy players I'm avoiding for 2023 on fantasy data. And Tyler Lockett was one of them. Because of Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So, but unfortunately, if JSN is going to miss the start of the season, that looks good for Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. But I'm going to say it like this. If he doesn't miss more than a week or two, and he comes back and he's healthy, Tyler Lockett is going to take a hit. I don't see DK Metcalf taking a hit, but I do think that JSN, with his versatility and what he can do, especially with his route running, you're going to take something. The fool got to come from somebody plate, and it ain't going to come from that calves. Now, it might come from Lockett. So, that being said, that is our news. Now, let's get into our main segment, divisional breakdown, the NFC North, and we get to welcome our guest, Amber Phillips, a.k.a. Lady Shot Callers.
Divisional breakdown, the NFC North.
Now, before we get started and we jump right into the segment, because we are doing the NFC North, I have a special guest I want to introduce. We talked about her a little bit in the beginning of the show, but I would like to formally introduce Lady Shot Callers, a.k.a. Amber Phillips. Thank you for coming on to the show. Before I let her talk, I just want to get her particulars out there so you can make sure that you follow her. Please follow her on her social medias. You can follow her on Instagram and TikTok. She's a part of the Fantasy Shot Callers crew. The TikTok and Instagram, well, the Instagram first is Fantasy_Shot Callers.
The TikTok is the_fantasyshotcallers. You can follow her personal one is at lady_shot_callers. I know there's a lot of underscores, but that's how she got it. So you make sure you type that in correctly and hit that follow button. You can also follow her on YouTube at Fantasy Shot Callers as well. Amber, thank you for coming on to the show. I really appreciate you coming on. Talk to the people real quick. Say hi to the people.
Man, I am so grateful to be here. Thank you for asking me to be on. You know, I'm stoked to talk about the NFC North because, you know, that's my squad. The Bears are in there. But I have been, you know, jumping into fantasy football for only about 4 years, but I've been a lover of football since I was 3 years old. So, you know, I'm just ready to talk football, get more women involved, and, you know, wherever I can put some knowledge in and help people win their leagues. That's what I'm about, man.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. Now, you told me before that you're running a all-female fantasy football league. It's called the Queen's Ransom. Now, how did that get started? And who's in this fantasy league that's us all women?
Well, it got started last year, was our inaugural season. And actually, a bunch of men started it, and I'm grateful for them. That's Fantasy Wish List. Him and Fantasy Football Guy, they started the league. And, you know, this year we really wanted women to be on the forefront of the whole process, right? Because, like, why would everybody want to watch a bunch of men talking about all women football league, you know? So, but yeah, we've got some heavy hitters in there, man. We've got Lauren Carpenter, stepmom Lauren. She's on SiriusXM Radio on Saturday mornings on the Jeff Radcliffe show. And then we've got Steffi Small. She has her own YouTube show now. She's been with Champions Round in the past, and she's all things sports betting. So go follow her. Touchdown is in tight ends. They are they're on YouTube as well. I mean, we've got. Oh, Dresses and Salted Pretzels. They are the funniest broads I've ever met in my entire life. So make sure you go check them out. And they're at Sports Life Talk South. So that's where you can find them on YouTube. So there's a bunch of, like I said, heavy hitters. And we're just ready to get more women involved in fantasy football just to, you know, diversify, right? We want it to be a little bit of everybody, you know, melting pot. So,
yeah, I like it. And I've had the pleasure of talking to a few. I've actually talked to stepmom Lauren before. Great person to pick knowledge from. She was really cool. Just asking her a few questions. I had, you know, some things I wanted to ask her just to pick her brain, and just to be able to just chat with her for a few minutes was awesome. And Steffi, I've been trying to get Steffi on for a while now. I actually just hit her up maybe a couple weeks ago. So I know she's busy. But I'm trying to get her onto the podcast too, man. She is a personality, and she's a Giants fan. So it's like she's right in the division. So I always try and pick with her whenever I see her posting about the Giants. But that's a nice star-studded group you got there for your fantasy football league, all female. And I'll be the first to say it. Some guys I've seen on social media where they like Neanderthals, like women can't talk football and, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. And I've seen guys like that get eviscerated in football conversations. And it's like you sit there and you're like, oh my God, did he really say that to her? Oh, yes. This is not going to end well for him. Yes. And then they get cooked.
It's funny during drafts and the league chats, it's like, you know, you hold back a little bit and then you finally get to a point where you let it out and you're like, they're like, oh, she is one of us. You know what I mean? And it's just a phenomenal feeling. And, you know, to get all women into a group is really interesting too, because you just see how that plays out. And that's why we'll be featuring it on YouTube. The Fantasy Football Network will actually be hosting us every week to discuss the breakdown, the waiver wire, and how the teams are doing. So you can see who's trading and who's doing what. Yeah. So you'll catch us every Tuesday throughout the season. So you'll be able to see how everybody's performing and then how women play, you know, to see, you know, see what's up. So we're also, I just want to throw it out there that we're supporting breast cancer. We're going to support the Breast Cancer Research Fund this year. So we'll be dropping all that information for everybody to be able to donate. Cause you know, it's like, we want to give back, right? That's the idea. So we're all winning here with great relationships and fun. So we might as well give back while we do it too. So.
Awesome. That's great right there. That's great. All right. So I got to ask you some questions. I got to pick your brain a little bit before we jump into our segment. So I'm just
Let's
going
do
to hit you with a couple questions. Just keep it light, but I want to get people to know who you are as a person and a fantasy football content creator. So I got to ask, how did you get started doing fantasy football? Or how did you get started in fantasy football overall?
Well, overall, I've been trying to get into some leagues for years, and I never really pursued it that hard. And then finally, my friend Ben, the Fantasy Shot Caller, which now we are a conglomerate group, but Chef Dunna, if you will, he finally was like, "Hey, I got a friends league. You want to get in this?" And I was like, "Sure." And I went ham. I was researching and digging in. I had, 30 tabs open, and I was like, "I love this. This is fantastic." Because it's the analytics, right? So. So I jumped into that, and that's all she wrote, right? Right. I did that one league, and then it grew to three, and then let's see, I did 11. I think I did 15 last year.
Ooh, okay. I like it.
I got first in like 7 out of 15, so that's almost, almost over 500. So a
That's
little under
great.
500. Yeah. So it's something that I just grew to love,
Yeah, I like that. I have to admit, I had a problem maybe 2 years ago. I was in almost 25, 30 leagues, and
Oh my God.
I just people kept inviting me, and I couldn't turn them down. It
I
was
know.
it's like, yo, it's the fact that people think enough of me to extend an invitation. So I'm like, oh, that's great. Sure, I'll do it. And then, 10, I commissioned my own league. I commissioned a couple of leagues with friends and family. And then my boys wanted to do one. They're 7 and 9. So they were like, let's do a family league, Dad. So I did that. It was all over the place.
It's
So,
intense. Yeah, I'm gonna
yeah.
definitely cut back this year, and I'm excited about it because when you're creating content, it changes the game, So when you're trying to help others, it's really hard to help yourself when you have that many leagues. I can't believe you did that. That's sick.
Indeed. And I learned my lesson. I had to cut back too. So I feel where
We
you're coming
have to
from.
set boundaries.
Yeah, it's not easy because it's addictive, especially doing the drafts. That's one of my favorite points.
Well, that's
Just
the thing,
being
that only lasts so long, right? And then you're like, oh man, I'm really in it for like the rest of the
Yes.
season.
That reality hits you like, oh man, I really signed up for all of these.
Yeah, the adrenaline runs out, and then Tuesday night you're up until, 1 to 3 a.m. trying to,
Oh,
oh my
don't
goodness.
get me started. I set my alarm so I can wake up at 2 a.m. and make my waiver claims before
I'm
they go
telling
in.
you. Who are you telling?
Oh man, that was great. But let me ask you another question. What was your very do you remember your very first year playing fantasy, and what was it like?
Oh, my first year, it was wonderful, actually. It was intense because I'm always the only female in the league. So
Oh.
it's like I have something to prove.
Yeah.
And it's been like that. So I was actually a defensive end in Pop Warner when I was younger on the Elgin Redskins.
Get out of
And
here.
so I did that for briefly for a season. And for me, it was one of those things I let the boys intimidate me, basically. Like they didn't pick on me or anything, but I picked on myself essentially. And so basically I left playing the game, and I became like a junior coach kind of situation. And then I went into cheerleading because I was like competitive, right? So so basically after playing, I was like, man, I love this game, but I can't continue to actually play. So then getting into fantasy was kind of that same thing all over again, where I was like, I'm gonna stay in this for the rest of my life because I left football when I was younger. So my first year was great. I mean, I think I ended up like 7th place, which was hard for me. I'm a straight A student, so I'm like, if I don't get an A, I failed.
Yeah.
If you're not first, you're last.
I understand the vibe. I
Yeah.
understand.
Yeah.
All right, so let's switch gears real quick.
All right.
What was it that got you into creating content for fantasy football?
The Live Las Vegas League, so the Las Vegas Fantasy Football Conference, hosted by 7 o'clock. He's one of the fantasy shot callers. I was invited to the league 2 days before the actual live draft, and this was 2021, And I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, they're like, just get in here. We want to diversify. We need women. We want, you know, people of color. We don't want it to be just like, you know, just not. Yeah, we want it to be a little bit of everybody. So anyways, I get in there and I'm nervous and I'm like, this is insane. But the adrenaline, the endorphins, serotonin, it was through the roof. And drafting live is, if you haven't done it, find a way to do it. That's all I have to say. And so after that, I ended up fifth place that season, and it was with Fantasy Football State of Mind, Fantasy Flojo. I mean, you've got, again, heavy hitters in there. And I was like, I can't go against these guys. And I ended up fifth. So I was like, all right. So about 6 months rolls around and I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to go into making content because this is fantastic. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this or which direction I want to go. But, you know, one day I just created the profile, and because Ben Chef Donna was already the fantasy shot caller. So I was like, I'll be rated shot caller and we'll just make it a duo situation. And so I created it, and then I called him and told him that I created it. And I was like, this is done. He's like, okay.
Way to step in there. I like that.
Yeah.
No fear.
Then, yeah. That's all she wrote, you know, and the network, Fantasy Football Network, took care of us. And we kind of grew from there and started doing shows. We have a show called Tackling the Tailgate where we make tailgate food and talk about fantasy football. And, so we were doing that, and, you know, and then again, just growing and growing after that. So,
ooh, where can we watch that?
You can watch that on our, it will have new episodes coming up right before the season starts. And that'll be on the Fantasy Shot Callers YouTube page.
Ooh, okay. So if you know you want to watch it, hit that subscribe button.
Yes. Smash All right. that.
Yes. All right. So my last question for you, and then we're going to jump right into the segment. Do you have any tips for someone trying to get into content creating for fantasy football?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would suggest, one, just do it. So if you're on the fence about it and you're questioning it and you're worried about followers and likes, don't be. Just get in there and do what you love, number one. And number two, I would suggest that you find people to collaborate with and people that have already been successful in the field, and, you know, tie yourself to them and find a way to grow from there, because they will teach you for free most of the time. And all of these apps that we use and these things that we use to create this content, it's a great learning experience, and it's so much fun. So don't miss out on a good time because you're worried about being extremely successful or likes or follows. Because you know what? If you build it, they will come. Not to be cheesy, but you know.
I like that. Because sometimes taking that first step is difficult. You're overthinking things. You're trying to figure out how everybody else is doing it. And sometimes people are intimidated because of follower counts and, you know, because of how popular a person is that I can't ask them a question because they might not give me the time of day. The worst thing that they can say to you is, no, I don't want to talk to you. Outside of that, you got to be.
What does that do to you? It doesn't do anything to you. You just move on to the next one. And without a little bit of rejection, we don't grow. So.
Exactly. I like that. Because I was definitely there.
I've been there this whole time.
Yeah, that first step is a doozy, but after that it's smooth walking. All right, so let's get into the segment, man. I know that you love the NFC North. This is where your battleground is. So we're gonna kick this off by starting with the Minnesota Vikings. And we can't talk about the Vikings without talking about Mr. Kirk Cousins. Finished the QB8 in 2022. Kirk is starting to get his respect sort of around the NFL because he's been managing to put up numbers over the last few seasons, especially with the Minnesota Vikings. And I think he's starting to come around to fantasy managers too. Like I say, he finished the QB8. He's going off draft boards as the QB12. According to fantasydata.com. So Cousins is that fringe QB1, kind of. He's in the back of the class in 12 team leagues. How do you feel about Kirk Cousins? Is he somebody that you feel like you could be comfortable with starting as a QB1? Or is he the kind of guy that you have to build, you have to build your fantasy team correctly in order to have him to be a part of it?
I think that Kirk Cousins is, I think there's a comfortable floor with Kirk Cousins. And I think that, you know, I mean, he's a top 12 quarterback five of his last 11 seasons, right? Now, is that fantasy relevant? It's all dependent. And I know with Justin Jefferson, if you stack him, that's an absolute must, right? So there's definitely, I think it really depends on scoring. So you need to look at your league and look at scoring. I mean, you can have PPR, but then you can have, there's, you know, there's the smash leagues, right, where they hit every button, the smash button leagues, where they're putting points on everything. And so that's where it really matters. And that's where the situation changes if you pick up Kirk or not. Like, let's say I was just drafting in a dynasty league. It's an empire league. So it's dynasty. It's like back to back and then it resets, right? So it's super flex. And, you know, I had to draft, I got Justin Jefferson at the 108. Now I didn't get a quarterback until the fifth, and I had to pick up Kirk Cousins, but I'm okay with that because I got Justin Jefferson, and I'm content with that because I have the stack, and there's rushing points as well, rushing, you know, they've got the scoring is all screwed up, but anyways, he's a comfortable floor. I mean, is he going to have those blowout games? No, I don't think so. But he led the league in air yards. He's third down in passing touchdowns. So 4,100 yards in 2022. I mean, I'm comfortable with picking him up if you're not able to get a quarterback, one of the, you know, the top tiered quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. One of my strategies coming into fantasy drafts is if I can't get one of the top guys, I always used to like to try and fall on guys like Tony Romo and Phillip Rivers when they were around. So when they retired, I always try and look for who's that guy who's kind of like Tony Romo, who's kind of like the Phillip Rivers. They're going to pass a lot. They're going to put up touchdowns. They're not going to be the top tier guys like, you know, your Peyton Mannings back then, your Drew Breeses. But these are guys that could fit comfortably. Now, Kirk Cousins could be a guy that you could wait on in fantasy drafts if you decide that, hey, you know what? I want to fill up my other skill positions. I want to have a nice bench to make sure that if an injury pops off, I have, you know, enough depth to either make a trade or to supplement those guys that go down. And Kirk Cousins is giving you, he's kind of get, like you said, he's giving you that kind of floor where he's just comfortable enough where if something happens to your main guy, I can slide him right in and I don't have to worry about it too much. And then exactly, you base it off of how the rest of your team is going. On how you built that 65.9% completion percentage. He tied with Jared Goff in touchdown passes at 29. And like you said, he's got Justin Jefferson. He's got one of the best wide receivers in the game. And he's going to throw a ton of passes to make sure that that guy is being taken care of.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you got the volume there for Kirk Cousins. I think he had finished fourth in pass attempts last season. So the work is there. So that's what gives him, guess what should give fantasy managers some ease, you know, if they ended up with Kirk Cousins. Because I can tell you, when you're going through fantasy drafts, and like you said, if you're doing a live draft, things can happen very quickly. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden runs start happening and quarterbacks start coming off the board. And you're scratching your head like, how did all of these guys get away from me? But yes, sometimes it ends up like that.
Yeah, they all thought, everybody today, they thought I reached for Cousins, but I'm like, look, I can't take any chances in a super flex, and I've got Justin Jefferson. You know, I'm safe now. I have somebody who I know I'm safe, and that's the exact word that you use when you think of Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so I'm all about the safety if I don't have a top guy, you know?
So. Yeah. Now, I got to ask you this, because this has been a debate that I've seen on social media for a while this season. Justin Jefferson is almost undisputedly the number one wide receiver in fantasy right now. But Ja'Marr Chase has been making a case to try and take that number one spot away from Justin Jefferson. So before we start talking about him, how do you feel about that? Is Justin Jefferson, is he the number one? He's the true number one, or is it Ja'Marr Chase, or is there a difference to you?
For me, I can go either way. the reason that I would ever choose Jamar over Jefferson is because of quarterback play. And, you know, offensive line, defense, how long are they going to be on the field? That those are all big issues as well. And then strength of schedule is a big issue, you know, situation for me as well on something that I, reasons why I choose certain players in certain places. Jefferson, I feel like there's a lot of pressure to take him at the 101 or whatever. If it's super flex, obviously it's a little different, but when the pressure is there and that's all that is talked about, you know how it goes. People are going to go and gravitate towards that and they're going to take it because they don't want anybody judging them. But I am comfortable if somebody were to take Chase over Jefferson, I think that that's absolutely acceptable. I think that his route running, Jefferson's route running is great, but he's, you know, I think Chase's route running is a little bit better than Jefferson. I don't know if I'm going to get, you know, brought to the...
No, it's cool. You might be right. I mean, Chase is clean. I mean, when he's out there, but it's like night and day. You know, Justin Jefferson may have one thing that he's better at Chase at, and Chase has another thing that he's better at than Justin Jefferson. And even right. when it comes to fantasy points, I mean, if you look at last season, there wasn't much of a difference to say, hey, this one is clearly better than this one. I mean, the production, I guess at the fantasy level, kind of speaks for itself, not the numbers that they had throughout the year, because I think it was like 1.5 point difference between Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase. And he could have had an even better season if he hadn't missed 5 games with the hip injury. So, I mean, that would make me sweat a little bit, you know, yeah. Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase.
Well, I think it's like based on, you know, and targets as well. And then, you know, how many weapons are on the field. Justin Jefferson doesn't, there's not that many weapons. I mean, that's a different story this year than it was last year, but like Jefferson is clearly the guy that the go-to, you know, Thielen as a veteran that he was, like he was, he, you know, he made a play, he tried to make a play to be that backup for him, but that wide receiver too, but it's the weapons, there was more weapons on the Bengals. So I'm comfortable with either one. If somebody were to take Chase over Jefferson in a like, let's say 12 man PPR, I'm totally like, that's great. Good for you. You know?
Yeah. Now you talked about there being more weapons for the Bengals, but now there's more weapons for the Minnesota Vikings this year. They went out and drafted Jordan Addison. They still have KJ Osborne. They traded for TJ Hockenson last season. Now let's talk about Jordan Addison, because he could potentially have a bigger role coming into his rookie season. And he has Justin Jefferson to kind of take the heat off of him in matchups, because, you know, you have to guard against Justin Jefferson. So that may lend to more easier matchups for Jordan Addison. How do you feel about the dynamic that they have now that they have a rookie wide receiver out there? And then you still have KJ Osborne, who I kind of think that he's going to slide into the slot with Addison out there.
Yeah, I agree. I think the thing about KJ is that he's falling so low in drafts, he's free. You know, you can get him for free. And if there's enough depth in your squad that you can pick him up in the 12th round, like that's where he's going in a lot of these like deep leagues, right? So KJ Osborne's a safe call for you know, having somebody to back up just in case, God forbid, something happens. Addison is great. I hope that he can be as fast on the field as he is off the field. Joke.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, homie was booking up. He was doing like 140
in minutes. Right? So I used to live there, and I'm like, dude, you don't need to go that fast.
I couldn't believe it, man. Like,
oh my goodness. Yeah.
That was cold blooded.
But he's such a dynamic player. Addison's such a dynamic player. And I do think, Osborne's going to slide into the slot. And I think that Addison is going to have a lot to learn. Like, again, for me, when it comes to rookies, you know, it's like Bijan's a different story. He's a whole different beast. But in the game of bringing rookies in and starting them right away, they have to get acclimated to the NFL. Mm-hmm. They have to get acclimated to the team. They have to get acclimated to the stardom, like the just being a star, you know, being talked about everywhere, all over the place. Because even if they were talked about that like in college, that's one thing I think that women do when it comes to football, is that we kind of look at everything and as a whole, and on a person, on a player. And it's one of those things where these guys come in and they get star-studded and the money and, you know, all that. And it does, you know, it affects you. So you got to make sure he's coming in to do work. But I don't think he's going to eat into too much of Jefferson's workload. I really don't. I think that throughout the season, I think we'll see an increase in that because we can't run Jefferson into the ground, and the Vikings know that. So, I think we're set in the beginning. I think Addison's great to pick up as a handcuff, essentially. Like, I know that he's going to come out and probably try to get that wide receiver too. But I mean, Osborne's got years in the game, so. I think Addison's going to do great work. I just think that we don't overhype the rookie. That's how I feel.
I got you. One thing that I was considering about Addison, though, is the amount of work that's left over now that Adam Thielen is gone. He's in Carolina. Do you think that plays a role into what Addison could potentially be now that there's about 107 targets left over from what Adam Thielen had last season? 16.7% target share for the 2022 season, and the Minnesota Vikings do throw the ball a lot.
They do throw the ball a lot because, again, Kirk Cousins is he's one of those game managers that, like, he's a passer. He doesn't run. You know, he's not a dual threat. So, Addison, I definitely think he's going to get the targets. Like, I think he's going to get the targets. Now, is he going to be the targets that you need to draft him early? Is it worth the capital? I don't know. But again, that's where it comes into rookies. I mean, we can hype up all we want and get really excited about Tate. But where does that, like, I mean, how often does that usually pan out for us, right? What's the percentage rate on that? So,
yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I do believe that there's he's going to eat. But it's, you know, look at Cooper Kupp, that situation, right? Like, he literally caught every ball on the field for the entire season until he was hurt. So I feel like I do think that they're gonna spread the ball around, but Jefferson isn't gonna lose out, and Addison and KJ are probably gonna split a lot of the targets. So
that is a very fair point, because you talk about being frustrated with the Rams and Cooper Kupp just being a target hole. I was so hyped on Allen Robinson last year.
He burned me. He was a bear before that. And then we've got Matthew Berry just dogging him. And I'm like, it's not his fault. Wasn't his fault.
Yeah, bad situation. Okay, so now we talked about the wide receivers. We still got two positions left. Alexander Mattison. I've seen mixed reviews with Alexander Mattison. Some believe that he has an opportunity to take off. He's the running back one for a team that really needs to balance out and have a rushing attack. You know, you saw what you had with Dalvin Cook, and he assumes that role. Others believe that, you know, he's overhyped. He hasn't done anything in the NFL. He hasn't had enough work to legitimize being a running back one on a fantasy team. So let's first talk about Mattison. How do you feel about Mattison coming into the 2023 season?
You know, I was really hype on Mattison last year. I was very excited to have him as a handcuff to Dalvin Cook last year. And without Cook on the field, he averaged 16.9 points per game. So I think that he'll be a top 20 back just from volume alone. His upside is phenomenal, regardless of, like, the mixed reviews, because I'm with you. I've heard so many mixed reviews of, like, it's Mattison season, or, like, he's a mid running back. And I'm like, all right, guys, like, he's definitely the RB1. He's coming out. We saw that he can, you know, he's built for the workhorse role. So is he going to be Derrick Henry? No. Is he going to eat? Yes, absolutely. So I do definitely think he'll be a top 20 back for sure. And I think the volume is there, and I think he's worth the pickup 100%.
Yeah, I'm kind of along those lines too. I'm a Mattison truther. I've been waiting for him to be able to get the opportunity to showcase what he can do.
Yes.
He's given us a little bit of a taste. 2021, I actually did, I can't remember who I did it for. I think it was Fantasy Data, but I did an article for them on Alexander Mattison. And no, I'm lying. Let me stop, because I can't remember. So I'm not even going to, don't quote me on that. I got to confirm. So I'll fact check that. But I did do a video for Alexander Mattison. He did kind of give us a taste of what he could do. He had three good games in 2021 when Dalvin Cook was not the starter. He averaged, he had 20 points, 20 plus fantasy points in three different games as a starter. Two were against Detroit, and they kind of had mid run defenses, but he still was able to put up points. He had a good game against Seattle in week three. So the potential is there. And like you stated, the volume is something that fantasy managers want to remember. When you get a running back, you look at what kind of workload he has, and that kind of lends to what kind of production he can get. Even if he goes to an RB2, that's still pretty solid for what he's going to be asked to do. And he's not going to just be the runner. He's going to be the guy who can catch passes out of the backfield too. So he's going to have a three down role, which is key for looking for running backs. And you know how the running back position is kind of on the thin side, because after the top guys, you start getting into those tandem backs and the committees and all of that stuff. So when you get a bell cow back, you kind of want to grab those guys first.
Yes, exactly. And that's how I feel. Like, I mean, I don't think he's going to, you know, he's not Nick Chubb. He's not Joe Mixon. He's not, but he is going to be relevant enough for you if you don't have the depth at RB.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. I can't wait to see him go. I'm a fan.
Me too.
And finally, to wrap up the Minnesota Vikings, we got to talk about T.J. Hockenson. The tight end position is probably my worst position to pick at. But for Hockenson, he saw 129 targets last season. I believe it was 86 with Minnesota and 43. I had the numbers, but it was like 40-something with Detroit before he was traded. So how do you feel about the tight end position? Because it's kind of scarce after you go after guys like Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews and the like. But T.J. Hockenson, he looks like he could present some fantasy upside for fantasy managers in an offense like the Minnesota Vikings. What do you think?
Yes, and I think because of Kirk Cousins, again, being a passing quarterback and not a dual threat, that Hockenson is definitely a fantastic target for him in those short passes, right? I would prefer Madison to get those passes, but Hockenson, yeah, right? I love him. I picked him up last year. When he was traded to the Vikings, I got even more excited. I was all about it. And, you know, his ADP is a little high for me, though, because the situation is, so when he went from the Lions to the Vikings, his targets increased from 6.1 to 8.6, right, once he was traded. But he's inconsistent on a game-to-game basis. Now, mind you, he was traded in the middle of the season, so that's a whole different story. Now, with a fresh start, I'm really excited to see where this goes. But my issue is, who do you lose by drafting him so early because of where he is? I think the play here is for when you are drafting, considering it's preseason still. So before you draft, it's like you got to know who you're drafting with, because if people are just picking whoever's at the top of the ADP, that's going to be an issue. But if you're playing with people who are, you know, diehard fantasy players, right, league managers, then you know that they're going to wait on it, because there's a lot of people that don't believe that he is the value at his ADP, right? That you're losing capital that way. So, but I do see him being really close with Kirk Cousins and taking those short passes when the pressure's being put on.
I like that. That's a very good point, because I got the ADP for T.J. Hockenson he's coming off as a tight end 3.
Yeah.
So it's like you're getting him kind of early, maybe around the third or fourth round, and you're passing up on a lot of talent early in the draft going after a tight end. And everybody's perception of tight end is different, but like you say, if you're paying attention to the draft and you have guys who are seasoned, they will probably be like, you know, it's probably a reach to go after Hockenson when you got guys like T. Higgins and Chris Olave being here to be able to be drafted. And you're going to get a tight end.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been hard for me to pass him up. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been really hard for me, because I'm like, he's just sitting there and I'm like, oh, I want him so bad. But I'm like, you know what? I've got to build the depth in these other positions first. Right. Because those are, especially like, look at all the injuries we currently have in training camp. Imagine what the season's going to look like. So you know, and you can get some really decent tight ends later rounds. Like if it's not Kelsey or if it's not Andrews, like, or, you know, Kittle. I mean, Hockenson's going a little bit. I think he's even going before Kittle right now, which is crazy to me as well. So anyway, yep.
Kittle's coming off as a tight end 4.
Right? Yep. Right.
You nailed it. Yep. But okay, so we got Minnesota out of the way. Let's go on to the Detroit Lions. And I feel like Jarek, we always got to talk about the quarterback first because that's who the leader of the team is. But Jared Goff is another quarterback that you probably could wait on. I'm not really sold on continuing to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. He did have a good season last year. I won't take that away from him. Right. But, you know, he's coming into a new season. Jameson Williams is going to be suspended for the first 6 games. He still has Amon-Ra St. Brown. They did draft Jahmyr Gibbs, but their wide receiver core is kind of lacking. You have Marvin Jones there, and I believe it's Josh Reynolds there too. Those aren't really hallmark names that kind of put fear into the hearts of defenders. So it's like you have Amon-Ra and nobody else. Is that the making for a return to top 10 status for Jared Goff?
It's so funny that we're doing it. I think it's because I was preparing for this that I picked up Justin Jefferson and then I picked up Amon-Ra, right? I love him. one of my first segments on an individual player was Amon-Ra last year, and it was early in the season before anybody really believed, you know?
Yeah.
Like I was a truther, man, and I put it out there. I call it Rainy Shotcaller's hard-ons. That's my
I like that.
I got a hard-on for this man. And so anyways, I did my first segment on him, and, you know, and then he just blew up, and now everybody's talking about him. I was like, I was on this first. But anyways, my point
is... Now you do your victory lap.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's my man. So I picked him up today, and interestingly enough, in the Superflex League, I double stacked. I picked up Goff later because I wasn't really able to get a QB early. Yeah, so I got Kirk, Justin Jefferson, Goff, and Amon-Ra. And I know, and again, it's another safe bet, but because there aren't that many targets, it's like I think Gibbs and Montgomery are going to see a lot of work. And, you know, Amon-Ra, pray to God he stays healthy. You know, we've got 6 games before we get Jameson. So Goff, I don't think, is going to maintain the 4,000, the 4,400 yards that he had last year. I just don't. I mean, he did attempt the most. He attempted the 6 most passes with 587 last year. I just don't see that happening this year. And I think that they're going to just run a little heavier because the Lions didn't do well within the division. That was their biggest issue in their away games. They weren't doing very well either. So I think they're going to have to run more. So I don't know. I'm very interested to see what happens, but I did pick him up and I got him later and I got him at a good value. So again, another quarterback you can wait for, but it's not necessarily the safest bet.
Yeah. It's kind of, I hate to knock a man when he's been doing so well, but
right,
it's just looking a little bit sketchy. Like he's not going to be able to maintain that kind of production, that level. And like you said, they got Gibbs, they have a new, Thunder or Lightning combo in that backfield with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. So I could definitely see them trying to run the ball more, especially with the lack of offensive weapons at the wide receiver position outside of Amon-Ra. And I'll be the first to say it. I slept on Amon-Ra because I thought that the 4 games that he had the season before he blew up last year, it was good. It was like 4 or 5 games at the end of the season. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, it's like, all right, he did it at the end of the season. It's not that great. Man, you talk about humble pie. I was like, I can't believe this kid is killing me. He's killing me.
That's
just how fantasy goes, man. You got to stand on your takes, whether they're good or bad.
it really does. And I do love watching people come out, especially somebody that works as hard as he does off the field.
Yeah.
That's really important.
I don't know if you saw his video. He did it. He was doing an interview after practice, and he was like, "You know, I have Twitter, I have Instagram. I don't tweet like that, but I see what y'all be saying." He like, "I'm making my list and I'm checking it twice. I know what y'all was saying about me."
I take notes, you know. I always have this hope that his brother is going to step up and be the same as him. And I was like, I realize that's not going to happen. That's okay. But
yeah, the Green Bay Packers, right? I can't even say his name.
Equanimous.
Equanimous.
I believe. Okay. I'm probably saying that wrong.
Yeah, I'm not going to try because I'm a.
I know. I shouldn't have. Yeah, I shouldn't have because they're probably taking notes on that. No.
Now, we both brought up David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Would you believe that Jahmyr Gibbs is actually going ahead of David Montgomery in fantasy drafts?
It's so fantasy... funny.
Go ahead.
It's funny. I just can't. I am dying at the value that David Montgomery has in drafts. Like I just because of the current one I'm in right now, I can't stop talking about it because it's been the slow draft I've ever done in my life. But the fact that we're in the sixth round, I mean, he's not anywhere in the ADP. It's wild to me. And I'm so excited for that because that means that you can wait and get a workhorse back later on. I definitely think it's going to be a tandem situation, but I think that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to take over that Jamal Williams role at the goal line. And I think that Montgomery's going to get that volume. You know, he's going to have the shorter yards or whatever. But I really do think that the value there is just insane. So you got to pick him up.
Yeah, agree. I get the hype for Gibbs. He looked dynamic coming out of college. Some of his highlight reels are outstanding, and I get that he profiles as a pass catching back. But he's able to do so much more than just catch out of the backfield that makes him dangerous. And I kind of understand it. But for David Montgomery, who they just signed this offseason, to be drafted so much later than Jahmyr Gibbs, it's like, I was baffled when I was looking it up. I was like, I couldn't believe it. Because, like you said, there's going to be a tandem situation there, and they both going to have their roles that's going to make their run game effective.
Yeah, and considering the wide receiver room is looking the way that it looks, pick up Montgomery. Like, well, don't pass that up. You know, if you see somebody passing that up, grab it. You know, grab him. And I think it also has something to do with, you know, the performance of the Bears last year, right? Like, everybody's like basing it off 2022, and and the Bears obviously are a young team. So so with that being said, I grab him everywhere.
Yep, agreed. Now, speaking of young, they have a new tight end, Sam Laporta, rookie out of Iowa, picked up in the second round by the Detroit Lions. With Hockenson gone, they didn't have another tight end that commanded the kind of volume or could command the kind of volume that Hockenson had. They had Brock Wright finish the season, but he wasn't, you know, like Hockenson. So they went out and got Sam Laporta. And we already talked about Hockenson when we did the Minnesota Vikings and the kind of work that he saw before he was traded to Minnesota. Do you think that Sam Laporta can slide into that role and be an integral part of what the Detroit Lions want to do? Or is it, we know how the stigma is about rookie tight ends and how they don't perform their first year. Is Laporta in a position where he can shake that stigma this season?
I really hope so. I am a fan of tight ends. Like, maybe it's secretly in the closet, but I really do love watching tight ends succeed, and especially rookie tight ends. He comes from Tight End University, being from Iowa, right? And it doesn't hurt that he's going to be the tight end one, but and then without having Williams for 6 weeks, I think that there's a plenty of opportunity for him. Now, again, it's all dependent on, what your team looks like and what your needs are. But rookie tight ends have a notoriously low ceiling, but he landed in the right spot for the, they need his services. So I do think that there's an opportunity here for a tight end to have a breakout season. And I really hope that he does. And I cannot believe I'm saying this about a team in my division, but I am excited to see the NFC North play this year with everything that I've been hearing about the NFC in general and then the NFC North. I'm really excited to see how all of this plays out. There's so many moves were made.
Agreed.
It's
one of the best parts of the offseason because all these themes get made heading into the new year. Players go here, players go there, players get released, players get traded. new players coming in from the draft. It's just a mix to see how everything shakes out when the season starts. And it's like one of the most, it's one of the most exciting parts, because now all these narratives and all these stories get put together, and now we get to see how they unfold once the season starts.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, agreed.
Like I can hear the music now.
Now, here's one more thing before we move on, because I want you to go full hand with your Chicago Bears. I want you to give them the work. But Laporta's coming off boards as a tight end 20. Do you feel like that's a value? Is it a gamble to take him as your tight end one? Or is it one of those moves where he's more of a stash and wait and see?
I'm always a stash and wait and see with rookies. Unless not all rookies, but rookie tight ends for sure. I am a stash and wait and see on that. And just because you cannot afford to pick somebody up who has never played a game in the NFL and then have them be your starting player, you know, those are just my personal beliefs.
Nope. I get it. I just had to ask, because I'm more of a wait and see too. I always like to have at least one to two bench spots where I can draft and stash a rookie, especially somebody that I'm high on. But I get it. And it makes the most sense. You always want to lead off with at least a option that can get you fantasy points instead of stranding yourself with a rookie that may have upside, but it may not come through in the season that you take him. So I totally get that.
I want it to be different, but anyways, go ahead.
Now we get to your favorite part, the Chicago Bears. Now,
yeah, Bears.
I'm going to let you spin, because this is your squad. You know, have at it. What do we need to know about the Chicago Bears in 2023?
2023, Luke Getsky and Eberflus and Poles, they have come through and they have made the changes that the McCaskies have not allowed for the entirety of my life. And so, for 35 years, we've been waiting for this magic to happen. So I am, you know, I'm super excited about Justin. I think they made the right choice by picking him and, you know, nurturing that relationship and, you know, taking the L's last year to get to where we are. I think they made great moves by, you know, getting like Montgomery going. That's fine. I think they needed a fresh start. Deonta Foreman, with that situation, we'll start there. I think that he's definitely got a workhorse role situation. I believe that he is, hold on, I lost my notes. Sorry. Oh, you can edit this out, right? I got excited and then I lost everything.
Yeah, I got you covered.
I was like, oh, hold on. What did I do with them? Hold on. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
All right. So field season is upon us. I know that we needed growth in the position, but he needed growth in his position. But with an increase in passing attempt percentage, when the coaches go that direction, I think that Luke Getsky will, his passing and his passing touchdowns remain constant. His ceiling is significantly raised. Now, we know how high he's going in drafts, and I think that he's worth it. He is a dual threat. He's a runner. He's the number one RB. He's RB1 on the team, and and I think, you know, he's really working really hard to make sure that his passing game is severely different from last year. As long and then as well, the team has done everything that they needed to do to try to put some security around him, you know, picking up Nate Davis. We've got the offensive tackle Darnell Wright. That's a great fit for protecting Fields. And then, you know, we made some moves in the defense. I'm a little nervous about defense. So hopefully, you know, Tremaine Edmonds and DeMarcus Walker can help make some changes there. I'm really excited to see what happens with Jaquan Brisker. And as for Deonta Foreman, you know, he's going to have that workhorse role. Travis Homer is, again, not the biggest names in the game, but they're there to do work. Khalil Herbert is going to be that fill-in back. He's going to be able to break through those tackles and be the beast that he needs to be when we need to get through the goal line. So as for, we wouldn't have made the moves that we made, giving up our number one pick for DJ Moore if they weren't going to pass more. And that's where we're at. So the volume is going to be, I think, the biggest problem because of it being a running offense. But I think they're making moves that we just aren't going to see. They're not going to show us everything in training camp. Mm-hmm. So, and then they wouldn't have changed. They wouldn't have traded their first pick if they weren't going to change the offense for Fields and more to produce.
I like it. Now, yeah. I do have a question because I'm not crazy about Khalil Herbert. I think that his role, like you mentioned, he could be more of a pass catcher with Deontay Formanier being the bigger back. But what do you think about the rookie they drafted in Rashawn Johnson?
I love him. I think that he
I was hoping you were going to say that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I think that he's a bully. I think that he's a beast. And I think that we're going to be highly surprised as to his performance. I think I'm just really excited to see him play.
That makes two of us. I was hype about him coming out. I know you have him coming out of Texas and, you know, everybody's talking about Bijan Robinson, but Rashawn Johnson, man, I won't say he's just as good, but he did enough work to be like, yo, we might have to take a look at this kid. And I kind of feel like with Rashawn Johnson there, if he can put together a strong camp, he might be able to push out Deontay Foreman because he's only there for 1 year. He signed a 1-year deal in this offseason. You're looking at your potential future. And I think Rashawn Johnson he's going to be that running back one that can work in tandem with Justin Fields and Khalil Herbert. I think Herbert's there for a longer term. I would be surprised if they get rid of him because he was able to showcase how good he was when David Montgomery went down last year in quite a few games. So I'm hoping that Rashawn Johnson is able to take over as the RB1 at some point during the season. I just feel like he's got the talent. He's got the size. I mean, he used to play freaking quarterback. So you got the option to be able to add some trick plays in there. Like, it's just he does what you need out of a running back in a run-first system or a run-heavy system. And then you have Justin Fields to worry about back there, too. Like, that's just...
Yeah, they really made some great decisions. And if it weren't for Bijan, like, he would have been the number one. He would have been the one that everybody's looking at. You know, I mean, obviously he's not Bijan. We understand that. But I think that I think they put him in the perfect place. And I'm not saying that because it's my team. I think that he's a great fit for the Chicago Bears.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm just really looking forward to him. I was like kind of saving him for last. I was like, thank you for bringing it up.
Yo, I had to talk. That was one of the guys that I was waiting to talk about because I feel like he fell in the draft a little bit too far for me because of what he's able to do and how. But the NFL is starting their view on running back is changing, and I don't think it's changing for the better. But he's got the ability, and I can't wait to see him take over.
I mean, he's got a 49% missed tackle rate, like, in 2022. Like, that's insane. Mm. You know,
he's a big dude to try and tackle.
You know, yeah, exactly. Six feet, 220, something like that, I think. Oh, my goodness.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, I did a video on him. Oh, yeah, and then Kmet, you know, obviously, I mean, Kmet, I don't think he is a top 10. I would love to say that Kmet is worth the pick. I don't even want to talk about it. Never mind.
I totally understand. I won't make you talk about him. So okay. the last thing I want to bring up before we move on to the Green Bay Packers, Mooney and Chase Claypool. I know we said that the Chicago Bears offense isn't really predicated to a whole bunch of volume passing. They're better and more dynamic on the ground, but if Justin Fields is expected to take the leap as a passer, how do you feel about Mooney and Chase Claypool and their roles? Because I kind of feel like my take on it is they finally have a full offseason to be able to work with Justin Fields. And I think they have better coaching than what they had prior to this season. Do you think that sways the pendulum for those two guys in this season?
I do. I don't like. I don't think it's their fantasy relevant, obviously, but I think that's gonna it's gonna change what the Bears look like from being the you know the run heavy, the complete run heavy. Like that's what you define the Bears as. I think it's gonna change that, and like you said, it's gonna swing the pendulum to the sense that you're gonna be able to see Justin Fields get a little more agile with his arm and be able to throw the ball over the field and. You know what I mean? And not have to just throw the ball away because he's getting, you know, he's going to have, he has targets now. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's going to help. And I, you know, I'm not big on Claypool. I, you know, I've been trying to dig into him a little bit more and not be so biased about when he left the Steelers and everything. But it's one of those situations where, you know, when you have a solid group of guys who are there to support, he's got the support now. And that's what we need.
So that's an excellent job doing the Chicago Bears. That's I can dig that. That was great. Now let's wrap this baby up. We got to talk about the Green Bay Packers. There's some turnover there. Aaron Rodgers is out. Jordan Love is in. The Packers are going into the next phase of their franchise. They've gone young at the wide receiver position. They still have Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. They have a new tight end in Luke Musgrave. They have a lot of young guys heading into the season. It looks like a brand new offense when mm-hmm. you look at the players that are there. Let's start with Jordan Love because he hasn't really been able to put his stamp on any game as of yet because, you know, he's sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. We know the whole spiel about him being drafted and Aaron Rodgers looking for more weapons. And the Packers front office was kind of like, nah, we're going to go get this guy. So now Jordan Love has an opportunity to fully showcase what he can do this season. And it may seem like there's a lot of pressure on him heading into the season, especially when you're looking at quarterback potentials in the later rounds for fantasy. Do you think that Love is in a position where he can be a strong fantasy asset as a maybe a potential stash, wait and see, because, you know, you're not going to go draft him as your QB1. Like, that just wouldn't make any sense because he's an unknown commodity. But is he somebody that you think that could kind of showcase what they can do over the first few games and then be a potential waiver wire ad?
I do, actually. I've been watching some tape and kind of looking up some stuff on Love, and I really believe that there's opportunity there for him. I mean, he was under one of the greats. And I think that the relationship that Rodgers has with his teammates really is a developmental one. And I think that it's developed somebody who can be a game manager before he can be, because we don't have, the sample size is so small that we really can't say anything right now. But I definitely think that he's worth a stash. I picked him up in a dynasty league, late in the game when everybody was passing him up. And I'm like, I'll take him because I do think that Love season. I mean, as been to many Packers games because of being a Bears fan, you know, Bears games where the Packers played. I see how their community and they rally around their players. And I think that's a really big, big deal as well. So I know that they're extremely supportive of him. And I think that he's going in with the right mindset. I don't think that he has a lot to be nervous about. So especially since, I mean, they're just a young team and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Just like the Bears, we knew we're a young team and we knew last year, like everybody's like, oh, the Bears suck. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to be like 3-13 or 3-14. And we were.
Yeah, you got to give us a chance first.
Yeah, I was like, I already knew. I was like, I'm okay with sucking right now because we're going to, you know, it they're going to make the changes. So, yes, he is a stash. It's good.
Now, Jordan Love is young. And he's got a young wide receiver core. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. I believe they drafted another wide receiver. I can't think of his name. I'm drawing a blank. But they have a nice young squad at wide receiver. How do you feel about Christian Watson coming in? Because he had a pretty solid – he had an up-and-down season last year. He started off kind of not hit or miss. He had to deal with injuries, and he really didn't come on until maybe the second half of the season. When he torched my Cowboys secondary for like 2-3 touchdowns, that was a painful game to watch. because he like exploded, and then he had like a four. I think he had like a four game stretch where he was just cooking everybody, and it had to start with my Dallas Cowboys. But Christian Watson coming into this season, I really liked Watson coming out, and I think that he could be a wide receiver that Jordan Love relies on. How do you feel about Watson coming into this year? Is he a wide receiver? Is he a wide receiver that you think that you can rely on in the 2023 season, despite the Packers being a young team?
I really like Watson. I know that he's a deep ball threat. Now the question is can Jordan Love get those balls to him, or is he going to be able to get those air yards to him? And so for me, I've always been big on Watson. A lot of people aren't, and that's why he's a great pickup if people leave him behind. It's really tough to call at the moment because of the situation with Jordan Love. But even Rodgers last year it's right Aaron Rodgers, right? So you're going to draft around Aaron Rodgers. But his gameplay was up and down too, and the situation was mixed up. I think they're hype. I think they're very excited. And Watson could have an extremely great breakout role this year. And I have faith in that. I really do. And I can't believe I'm saying this about any of the Packers, but yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not forcing you to make, talk about your division rivals like that, because I know how you.
No, it's okay.
Packers and
it's
Bears okay. go.
Oh, yeah.
You have Aaron Jones. You have A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones was a top 10 running back last season. He was the RB9 in PPR last year. Do you think that there's a fall off because of, the change in quarterback, or is it something that is not as consequential because of the amount of work that he could get, especially being he's a solid runner and a good pass. He's a great pass catcher, actually. I'm not even going to shortchange him like that.
Right.
Aren't those the kind of things that a young quarterback could use?
100%. I think that Dillon and Jones are automatic must grabs. If they come, if they fall to you and it's necessary, I think it's absolutely their must grabs. Especially with the young team that they have, you've got two people in the league who know what they're doing. Aaron Jones, again, being the pass catcher that he is, like they're, yeah, absolutely. Pick them up. I mean, okay. I have no arguments with them. Like, I'm all about both of them.
Okay. Now, I have one question, because I don't understand the appeal of A.J. Dillon. He's a strong handcuff. We got to see a couple games where he could, do some things without Aaron Jones in the front. But Dillon doesn't get, I don't feel like Dillon gets a lot of work. It's not really much of a tandem situation. Is that something that could change because there's no longer an Aaron Rodgers and they want to run the ball or keep the ball on the ground and help the young guy out? Like, is that where A.J. Dillon's fantasy value can come in?
That's why I said grab them both this year, because of the quarterback situation and because of the team being so young and, Watson and Love having to learn together. I had no shares of Dillon last year. I was not up on him at all whatsoever. But I do believe that that's going to change this year.
All right. And
you got to run. You got to run when you can't throw. We don't know.
You definitely do. You definitely do. That is right. Whatever. When all else fails, put the ball in the dirt and run that thing.
You know.
Okay. So do you believe in the tight end is a quarterback's best friend? Because that's where we can go. We could go with Luke Musgrave. He's a rookie tight end. He's young. He's got, as much experience starting at the starter level in the NFL as Jordan Love. Could Luke Musgrave have some appeal as a rookie? And maybe let's switch gears a bit and turn this into a dynasty question, because, we've already talked about some young rookie tight ends, and our beliefs have been established that, they're better off being stashes in redraft leagues to wait and see if they can develop at the NFL level and produce in their rookie seasons.
I don't have him higher than Laporta, right? But I think that, again, I think that he's a stash, and I don't think that he's not afraid to run the ball. He's a big boy, and I think that he's going to be able to break tackles. And so I think that he's definitely somebody that you can pick up in Dynasty. I believe I picked him up the 24th round. I was able to get him. Yeah. Yeah. So I grabbed him because I was like, well, let's see what he's got. But also, you know, again, injuries. I mean, if you have the depth in your league, do it. Like pick up tight ends, because they were dropping like flies last year.
They were
dropping
they definitely were. Everybody was getting hurt.
But yeah, I do believe that I do believe that a tight end is a quarterback's best friend. When they're looking around, and they see the tallest one on the field just standing right there, and they're like, "Here you go." You know,
yeah. Hey, you catch it.
I'm gonna toss this. I'm gonna lob it over to you. Here you go.
All right. So we got through the division pretty well. Now it's gut check time.
Oof.
AFC North predictions. This is more along the lines of, I don't want people to give specifics. If you want to, that's cool. I mean, as far as like division record and all that stuff. But who do you believe is going to come out on top in this division in the NFC North? Is it the Bears? Is it the Packers somehow? Is it Minnesota again? Like, who do you believe is good enough to win the division in 2023?
Man, I gotta go with my Bears, man. Nobody believes that. No, and it's not a homer pick. It is, the system is changing. And I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. 35 years of being a Bears fan, and my city, the people back home, like everything is changing, and it's there. They've got what it takes. They've got the manager, they've got, you know, they've got the GM, and they've got the coach, they've got the offensive coordinator. It's there. It's the Bears, man.
I actually can't disagree with that. And the reason why I can't disagree with that is because if you watched how Minnesota was winning games last year, mm-hmm. they won a ton of games by the skin of their teeth, coming in at the last few minutes of the game and pulling those games out. It was like it was a stat on one of the Monday night games. I can't remember, but it was like they were like 11-2 in close games. That kind of ratio was unheard of. And the fact that they were able to pull that off was ridiculous.
Yeah, they had a negative point differential, and if the games ended in the third quarter, they'd be 3-14.
Yeah. So to try and do that kind of game, winning games like that again this season, it's kind of hard to believe. I don't think that Minnesota's not, I'm not saying Minnesota's horrible, but the way that they were playing, and I can't see them doing that again. Whereas Chicago has made significant strides to build around Justin Fields. I think Detroit's going to put up a fight. They'll be better than what they were last year, especially when Jameson Williams comes back, if he can keep his head together and stay out of trouble. Because who bets? Why would you make a? I don't even want to get into that.
Wasn't he out 6 games with an injury? The first 6 games of last year?
Yeah, he was hurt. Like, bro, what are you doing?
He's not going to miss.
I have him. I think I traded him in one of my dynasty leagues because I was fed up.
Good for you.
It was a reaction. I was like, I can't believe this boy got he got suspended again. He got suspended for gambling.
We're not supposed to do it. Just don't do it. Let somebody else do it for you.
Yeah, and not at the facility.
Oh my god.
That's why he got the 6 games in the first place. But I don't want to go on a tangent. I just feel like the Detroit Lions will be better. The Packers, they have some consistent weapons in the backfield with Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, but it might just be too much for the Packers to try and come out and win the division in the first year with their rookie quarterback in Jordan Love. So it boils down to, for me, the Chicago Bears and maybe the Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings putting up a fight. I like Fields to take the next step. If he takes the step that I think he's going to take this year, it's going to be ridiculous. Because I liked him out of college, too. I did reports on him and articles and all that stuff. And I was just waiting, because who decides to have Andy Dalton come in and be the starter? Yeah, you paid him $10 million. It's like, but you know what Andy Dalton is. And then you threw Justin Fields to the fire, and you knew he didn't have an offensive line. It was just frustrating to watch. I'm like, they're doing this kid dirty, and he's got
dirty. Talent. Yes, exactly. And I think, like I said, it's not going to be like some blowout. It's going to be a tight race in the North. Yeah, but winter is coming.
Amber, I just want to say I had a ball with you coming onto the show. I really appreciate it. This was fun. Getting to talk to a Bears fan and being able to talk fantasy with you. It was a blast. You may have to come back on. I might need you to come back on.
I love it. I'm so grateful to be here. You know, it's like I'm a little rusty. You know, the season's just getting going and a little rusty. So thank you. This is fantastic. And it's a great way to, you know, let everybody know that, hey, we're out here. You know, we got all women's league. We're going to try to grow next year. So if you're a lady who wants to get in, you know, hit me up, follow me on socials. And, you know, again, we're trying to do some good while we're doing this as well. And the Las Vegas, the live Las Vegas Fantasy Football Conference is growing as well. So we want to get as many people in that. We're growing every year. It's just getting bigger and bigger, and we're splitting into conferences, and we all go out there for Labor Day weekend every single year. So that's going to get very, very large. And just so everybody knows, get on there and follow the Fantasy Shot Callers.
Yeah. And give them your personal too. They need to follow you too.
Yes, of course. At @lady_shot_caller on Instagram, all the underscores. Follow us. And you know what? We're here for you. You know, we produce content for the culture, you know?
Nice. Thank you. Thank you, Amber, for coming on to the show. Make sure that you follow her. Follow all the Fantasy Shot Callers. There's a group of them. Make sure you hit all our subscribes on follows and pluses and whatever social medias you like the best. If they're on it, hit that subscribe button. And you can make sure that you follow us too, the Fantasy's Finest, on our social medias. We're all over the place. You can find us anywhere. And you can subscribe to the podcast too, on your favorite platforms like Apple, Spotify, Google, and all that good stuff. So, without further ado, we can close this baby down. Amber, thank you again for coming on. You have been a blast to talk fantasy football with.
Thank you so much. I'm just grateful. Appreciate you all.
All right, we'll close it down. You guys have a safe journey into this season, and we will talk to you on our next episode. Peace.
For listening to the Fantasy's Finest podcast. Be sure to join the community on Facebook and follow us on Twitter too @TheFantasy's Finest. See you next episode.